And for today and next week, I'm going to be talking about the idea of resetting our unity. And this idea of resetting us as a church coming together and worshiping the Lord together. They've been crazy times, but let me just run through a couple of things with you. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 14. We're going to be there in just a second. Speaking of these restrictions and things we've been doing and these guidelines, let me just kind of share my heart with you. Not everybody agrees on everything. There may be some that feel comfortable being home worshiping today. When we respect that and we praise God for that. I don't know if there's anybody in the fellowship hall. I'm not sure about that or not. But there's been some hard things. Just to name a few things as you turn to Romans 14. Some of the hard things, you know, school. It's been hard, you know, finishing school at home. And our school has done a fantastic, amazing job about navigating through these unprecedented times. Maybe it's been sports. Maybe it's just been not having anything to watch on TV and sports. My wife's loving this thing, I'm telling you. Or maybe with your kids, maybe there's things that they're missing out on. They haven't been able to play or to do or to go. Maybe you're a senior. Maybe you have a senior, and everything about their last year has just been taken away from them or changed. It's just been a crazy time. Maybe some of the hard times are financial crisis. Maybe it's with farming, or maybe your business, and maybe you've lost your job. Maybe somebody you know is struggling. It's not easy. Maybe some of you are trying to figure out how to have your kids home more the last couple of months, and it's been kind of crazy. Maybe social distancing is hard because you love hugging everybody. Maybe you love it. Maybe there's health-related issues. Maybe you're stressed. Maybe you're trying not to be anxious, but you are anxious. Maybe when it comes to church, maybe you're like, I don't want to do this online stuff. I just want to get back and we're here. But there's been some good things, and I wrote some of these down because I need you to hear this. Maybe the reduced schedule maybe has allowed you to do some things with your family that you maybe not have always been able to do. I joked with some of my friends earlier, we've had more meals together at the dinner table in the last 2 months than we probably had in the last six before. And it's just because everything in our life and our schedules have been kind of taken away. I give the illustration sometimes of if you've seen Star Wars, if you know Star Wars, when they get dumped into that big, the big garbage scene when they're down in the big trash compactor. Raise your hand if you have any idea what I'm talking about. Okay, thank you. All right, so when the walls come closing in and they're trying to figure it out, and Chewie's screaming at Han, and they're all yelling at everybody, and the walls are closing in. That's how, over the last 2 months, it's kind of felt like that. Everything in your schedule and your day, whether you like it or not, people have had to make decisions from the federal to the state to the local, where things have just kind of slowly, we've been having things taken away for a good reason, for safety and precautions. And I can't tell you how many times we sit down at the table, we're eating, I'm thinking, man, this is awesome. And then our kids fight, and I'm like, I'm done, go. I'm just kidding. But there's some really good things happening. Or maybe having time to spend with maybe an individual kid that you just think, man, I hadn't had time to invest into you like I had before. Maybe your marriages. Maybe I talked to some and they said, man, I've seen my spouse more in the last 2 months than I have in a long time. Maybe you have a newfound appreciation for your kids' teachers. Can I get an amen? Right? You get them at home and you're thinking, man, those teachers are awesome. Dinner time, I already talked about that. Maybe some things, projects, reading books, maybe things you wanted to do. Church with your family, kind of a weird dynamic of us as a family watching, and some good conversations you've had with your kids. A lot of really good things. But make no mistake about it. In the midst of all this chaos and these things that are taking place, there is a longing. I can't tell you how many times I've thought this, I've said this, or I've heard this. You ready for this? I just can't wait to get back to normal. Nothing wrong with that. We long for normal, right? Who doesn't? We want to get back to this, what this world looks like pre-pandemic. And you know what's going to happen? It's not going to be that way. Look around. We're fixing to ask you at the end of service to walk out single file. You're sitting with your family, and some of you thinking, I want my family further away from me. I'm just kidding. But it's just this weird dynamic. It's not going to be an unpause and life goes back to normal. And I'll argue with anybody about this, that if it goes back to just plain old normal as a follower of Jesus and we don't learn anything good or glean any wisdom or any insight on how to move forward, then I think we've kind of messed up. I believe in my heart of hearts that God is sovereign over all things and all creation. I hope that you agree with that. That even amidst a pandemic, that God has allowed or permitted this horrible thing to happen, and I don't want anybody else to get sick, I don't want anything to, but I believe as followers of Jesus, the scriptures tell us that he works all things for the good of those who are called according to his purposes. I believe that somehow, some way, are you hearing me this morning, that there's supposed to be some sort of good on the other side of this whole mess. That's where my heart is at. And as I've been talking to pastors and people all over, literally all over the state of Texas, there's a resounding theme of just wanting us to gain and to learn and to grow on the other side of this thing. I was talking to a friend of mine. His name is Jason. He lives in San Antonio. And I was actually walking around the sanctuary in here in the room. You get a little stir crazy when there's nobody else up here. So I'm walking around on the phone talking. And I'm kind of pitching this whole thing, saying, hey, there's people in my life. I say, hey, I feel like led to this reset series of just things we can learn and grow as we move forward through the summer. So I pitched this whole thing. Give me some insight. What do you think? What comes to your mind? What are something in your life that you think, hey, on the other side of this pandemic, I hope to keep doing this or not go back to this or figure this thing out? And he offered something, and he's a spiritually wise person. I won't tell him that, but he is. And so we're talking about this, and he pitches a question to me. Some of you I've seen in town have actually asked you this question. He said, David, let me ask you this question. As a pastor, for the people that you shepherd, for the people that you minister to, what is your biggest fear for your people on the other side of this pandemic? That's a great question. And it kind of took me just a minute to kind of step back, but I immediately knew that what my response was. But before I tell you my response, I started pitching this to other pastors, and they were thinking, that's a great question. I heard all kinds of things, everything from as simple as, I'm afraid people aren't going to come back to church because they like to worship in their pajamas on the couch, right? You can wear pajamas, yeah. So I heard some that are just concerned about maybe financial things, or some concerned about how it's going to be divisive issues, and then there was a couple, but here's mine. My biggest fear, full disclosure, my biggest fear is on the other side of this pandemic. It's such a desperate attempt for normalcy that we learn squat, that we learn nothing. Now, some of you don't want to hear that today. Some of you here, I just want to get back to normal and back to routines and life, and that's great, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I would argue till I'm blue in the face that if we learn nothing, even the smallest thing, if we can't hit a reset and try to navigate differently in life, then I think we've missed something. And one of the issues and things that I want to deal with today is this idea of unity. And we come back together, and this idea of the pandemic, everybody's got different opinions about this, but let me just kind of talk this out with you really quick before we get into Romans 14. This emergence of, on the outs, or as we begin to navigate through a world with this coronavirus and trying to figure out church together, trying to figure out life, trying to figure out your business, trying to figure out your kids, social distancing and life, we're just trying to figure this stuff out. You know what's the dangers of it? Such fertile ground for Satan to come in and say, you gather under a roof, but you're still divided. Are you with me? We can be under the same roof and still worship the same Jesus, but still, have contempt for others because we think it's silly. Masks are silly. Social distancing is silly. I hate sanitizer. I don't think we should. Single file, David. Are you kidding me? I'm not an element. All these things, or maybe decisions and things that have happened, and to walk through this thing. And here's a couple of examples just to kind of see how there's different opinions. The pandemic, it's a big sham. Let's just move on with life. Oh, the other side of the coin is, I'm anxious about it. I'm genuinely concerned for myself or my family. Masks are silly. Well, I actually feel better wearing a mask, or maybe somebody around me feels better. This divided seating, Pastor, it's kind of a waste of time, but I appreciate the effort, maybe some would say. Social distancing is a waste of time. Others may say, please stay away from me. All of the restrictions, all of the stay-at-homes, all of it really hasn't affected me. And somebody else in this room today, hear me, may say, well, that's great, but I lost my job. My business is tanking. I'm not sure about the market with my crops. I lost my retirement. My business is struggling. All these other things. My senior lost everything this year. My senior year has been destroyed. All of these things happen, and it's all relative. Everyone looks at things differently. And my biggest fear is that we go back to normal, and as we try to do church and try to do things as brothers and sisters, in our differencing of opinion, that we might be divided. Which leads me to our text today. I want us to talk about unity. I want us to talk about what we gather under. Now hear me, not the roof. Or the roof. How do I say it? Roof? Roof? Josh always makes fun of me because I say roof wrong, I think. Or I'm barking like a dog. Hear this, we do not gather, let me be very clear, we do not gather in this room under the banner of your opinion about the pandemic. Here, let me say that again. We don't gather as a church body about your or my understanding of how we should do all these things. We gather under the name of Jesus. That is what unites us, and there is room. Hear this, there's room for differences of opinion. Paul's going to talk about that specifically in our text today, that you might have faith in to do something specific, and you might believe strongly about something else, but you know what? Jesus is bigger, and we can navigate through this. I can love you, and you can love me. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to read the text. I've been wanting to say that for a while. If you would stand, grab your Bibles. We're going to look at 1 through 15. It'll be on the old Sky Bible if you want to read on the wall. Let's read 1 through 15. I'm going to pray, then let's walk through this together. Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 15. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does. For God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day, sacred more than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. Verse 7. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether you live or die, we belong to the Lord. Verse 9. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that we might be, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with such contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then, each of us will give an account to God ourselves. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother and sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person, it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy someone for whom Christ died. Let's pray and we'll walk through this together. If you would, take a deep breath, exhale, relax for just a minute. Pray for your heart and for me, and that the Lord would do something great today. And then I'll pray for you and we'll move forward. Father, you've heard your people, and what a privilege it is to gather here together. Father, as today and next week, as we talk about this idea of unity and building each other and belonging to one another and unifying as a body of Christ, I pray, Jesus, I pray that you would speak truth today, that your word would ring loud and true, and your spirit would change us like never before. We ask it in your great name. Amen. You may be seated. Just some context here as we walk through these 15 verses together. Paul has been discussing and talking with his church about the equality of Jewish and Gentile believers. Chapter 14 is basically Paul's attempt to show about how we should have conduct in our daily living. And so as we look at resetting and this idea of unity for us as a church, he's going to focus in the context on two issues. Let me just throw these out there. He's going to talk about dietary restrictions, and he's going to talk about observing special days, observing the Sabbath, things that are important for holidays and special sacramental days, those kind of things. Next to circumcision, these are the two most divisive issues for the church. Now hear this. These are the two most important things. Now for us today, I don't think there's anybody here today that, maybe I'm wrong, that has an issue with food being clean or unclean. Food being sacrificed to another god that you're thinking, you know what, that's a ribeye, I'm going to eat that bad boy all day. I don't know what your issues are, but I know this, is that there are other profound things that can divide us. So what I want to do here is I want to take this idea of emerging from this pandemic, moving out of this situation, and hear me, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a strong conviction, and that is fantastic. But I want us to understand that as we do this, just like Paul says, hey, we can be unified in moving forward under Jesus. So I want to jump right into it. This idea of in verses 1 through 4, he says, hey, accept one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. Now let me push pause. Disputable matters are things in everyday life, gray areas that we might divide over. We're not talking about non-negotiable things about is Jesus the only, is the way, the truth, and the life. We're talking about opinions. We're talking about how you live, how I live. A lot of people have applied this text about how you drink alcohol, how you do this, how you socialize. And, you know, this idea of, hey, you do what's good for you, and I'm going to do what's good for me. But what I'm seeing here is that he says, accept those whose faith is weak without quarreling and fighting over matters that are negotiable. They're gray. They're these common sense things that your opinion is different than mine. And so rather than loving people, we're being combative and they're getting divided. He says, verse 2, one person's faith, hear this, allows them to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt. We'll talk about that in just a second. The one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted all of them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their master, servants stand or fall. And they will stand because the Lord is able to make them stand. This idea in verse 1 of accept means to receive or to welcome someone. Believers in Rome came from all kinds of backgrounds. And Paul says, do not fight over things that aren't worth fighting about. We can joke all the time about how things in church, we'll fight over carpet, we'll fight over colors, we'll fight over this and all these kind of things. But he says, do not fight over things that don't matter. And he uses this idea of being weak in the faith. And there's a lot of vegetarian jokes that I really want to make. If you have weak faith and you're only eating vegetables, but I'm not going to do that. I just you can leave that alone. But he says, those who are weak in the faith, they have areas that are weaker than others. Now, instead of looking at this as kind of a hierarchy, I want you to think of this in terms of how we cope through this. You may not have heard this, but I have heard this. I'm not going to wear a mask because I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to, maybe sanitizer, I hadn't heard that. People want to use it. I'm not going to not go to that because I'm not going to live in fear. Here's my heart and my cry today is that there is nothing about fear that makes you put on a mask. Putting sanitizer doesn't mean I'm afraid. It just means I'm trying to make a careful decision. You get in your car to go for a car driving. You put your seatbelt on. You don't think I'm so afraid I'm going to wreck and kill myself today. I better put my seatbelt on. You know, you don't exercise thinking I'm so afraid that I may keel over and die of bad health. No, you do so because you make wise decisions, things that you think are good. And so I want you to hear this because what this idea of saying, if you have the faith enough to say, I can eat that meat even though it's been sacrificed to whatever lowercase God that's out there, it's not a big deal for me, but it is for you. I love you enough to not put that in front of you. I'm not going to hold that against you and think, well, you need to believe what I believe and I need to believe what you believe. That's kind of what he's getting at here. So we accept, we receive, and we welcome people that sit in our pew across from us in our home that were our friends in the faith that maybe say, hey, they're kind of navigating differently through this. Look at verse 2. People are going to have different opinions, and that is okay. Verse 2 says, hey, one person is more confident than someone else about eating this meat that has been sacrificed to another god. One person's faith may be, I'm okay. I'll go into, I used to make a Lord of the Rings reference about Walmart, and I called it Mordor. I was like, if you're going to go into Mordor, like going to the deep, dark places in Walmart. But, you know, there's some of y'all like, hey, I'm going. I'm good. It took me a while to get there, but it's okay. Everybody's different. And I think it's great because we have different opinions, and it's okay. But verse 3 says, we're not to treat them with contempt or to despise. And listen to this. What the language says is to treat somebody as a nothing. Do you hear what I'm saying? To not treat somebody with contempt and say, you're nothing, to dismiss them or to belittle them. And what verse 3 Paul's getting at here, this friends, is that he's saying, it's ugly. That is not of the Lord. There is no space, no room for that for me or anybody else to say, my opinion on a disputable matter causes me to show contempt, to disregard you, to belittle you, and push you aside. Does that make any sense this morning? I hope it does. those who feel like we should just move on should not show contempt for those who may have concerns. And it works both ways. Hear this. It works both ways. Those who don't want to eat meat should not, with legalism, hear this, should not with legalism produce fences by which you should operate. I don't want to eat it. You shouldn't eat it either. I'm not going into Mordor. You shouldn't either. Walmart reference. I'm not wearing a mask. You shouldn't either. There's legalism both ways. And what Paul is saying, you could do this. You could have understanding, but we shouldn't despise or condemn or treat other brothers and sisters as nothing and dismiss them. There's no place for that. But like I said, this is not for the non-negotiables, things that the Bible specifically and clearly talks about. You can't say, hey, I think getting drunk is fine. Well, the Bible speaks differently. I think cheating is, well, the Bible speaks clearly on those. Look at me this morning. But how we emerge from a pandemic that I don't know about you, but I've never been through before, that's different. The same principle that Paul is saying to this idea of food and sacrificial things, two different opinions moving forward. And Paul says, we don't gather under those. We gather under Jesus. But about these gray areas, look at verse 4. He says, we're not going to judge somebody else whose faith is weak or if their faith is strong. Paul says, just like we don't judge someone else's servant, they're going to stand before their master. We're all going to stand before the master. We're all going to stand before King Jesus, everyone. And I heard it put this way. In non-negotiables, hear this, in non-negotiables, we have unity. In negotiables, there is liberty. There's some freedom to navigate and move through these things. But in everything, we love. Can I say that again? In the non-negotiables, there's unity. In negotiables, things that we have these gray areas, there's some liberty. I can do things that maybe feel more comfortable with. In everything, Christian, there's love. But watch what's next in verses 5 through 6. Paul's going to make a point about these that we're going to have disputes and have different opinions, and that's okay. Look at verse 5. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. It's all the same. Each of them should be fully convinced of their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does it to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. So we hear this. Look at verse 5 through 6. They say, Paul says, there's disputable matters. It's okay. He even says at the end of verse 5 that you are to be convinced of that. If you have a strong opinion about the pandemic, you have a strong opinion about all these things that are happening, that is fantastic. Be convinced of that. But look at the rest of it. He says, but everything we do it for the Lord. As Paul said in Colossians 3:23, that everything we do, it's not about you. It's not about what's right for you. It's about doing things as unto the Lord. I love verse 5 because some people think, well, maybe I shouldn't have an opinion. Are you with me this morning? I shouldn't have an opinion. I should just kind of casually walk through this life with no opinion. No, Paul says, have an opinion. Be convinced of your opinion, but not at the expense of others. My fear is that for some of us in Christianity, in our world globally moving forward, that we can be so convinced that we're going to hold it against other people. My fear for me, I'll be transparent with you right now, my fear is for me, and sometimes in my legalistic heart, that I shared this about the mask thing in a sermon or two, that I may look at somebody else and think, well, that's weird, why would you do that? That we could operate in love. That we honor Jesus with our convictions. Whether it's observing a holiday, whether it's eating foods, whether it's practicing freedoms in these gray areas, that we understand what Paul said in Galatians 2:20, that I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer about me, but it's about living for Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about others, and it's about the Lord. Look at verse 7 as we keep going. Paul says, for none of us, though we would like it, for none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. Notice what he says. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether you live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, the resurrection, so that we might be, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. Verse 10. You then, why do you judge, hear this, why do you judge your brother or sister? Why do you treat them with such contempt? Paul's really pressing into them again because they've been doing it. Why are you despising? Why are you marginalizing people that have a difference of opinion than you? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. As it's written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will have to give an account to God. Basically, 7 and 8 says you don't live in a vacuum. Let me look at you this morning. We don't live in a world, though some of us would like that, to live in a world where we can kind of do our own thing. There's no such thing in the body of Christ. There's no such place of saying, I'm just going to do me and you do you. There's no room for that. And so Paul is saying this. He says, we belong to the Lord. If we're going to die, we're going to die to the Lord. If we're going to live, we're going to live for the Lord. We're not going to treat with contempt, not despise, not marginalize people because they have a difference of opinion. I talked to a pastor friend of mine this week, and that was one of his biggest fears. He even equated this to this may be worse than November when the election comes. That Christians are so divided about how we're going to operate through this that churches can become split. It's all good. I'm good. Churches can become split. I'm just so glad to hear a baby cry. I'm just going to tell you. I'm just so happy about this. That just made my day. That churches can become so split over how they come to church. And that's a church in our area. It's also a church in our area that has the coronavirus in their town, and they're trying to figure this stuff out. And so there's some concerns about the church splitting and being divided about what we do. Make no mistake about it, we don't all have the same opinion. And that's why I just want to push pause and say I'm just grateful for our deacons as we came and we all were in unison. It's time to navigate things. It's time to step forward. It's time to be cautious but move forward and to start doing church again. Verse 9 reminds us that Jesus alone is the judge. And we're all going to have to stand before him. There's no place for us as a church to say, you just do you, I'm going to do me, and we'll just disagree on everything else. What would it look like, or what should it look like for Christians who have differences of opinions, be it sacred holidays, food sacrifice, all that kind of stuff, to gray area matters in our life? I think of a Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, when Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourselves. What would it look like? Is it possible for you to value someone else who has a completely different view than you? Okay, I'm going to chase a rabbit for just a minute. Let's say that you're a Republican and there's somebody else who's a Democrat, that you can value them for them. Let's say you have a certain belief on a political ideology or a church or culture or something that it's profound and you are completely mutually exclusive in your viewpoints. Could you still do life and still love and still come to church and still love people? We're supposed to. Paul says, I'm supposed to value, and this is where I've confessed before about my legalistic heart of thinking, well, sometimes for me, if it's all good, I love babies crying. It's good. If I think something is right, then you should, right? If you have a difference of opinion with somebody on an issue, who's right? Do we move forward or do we wait? Who's right? The problem or the danger of this is when we elevate gray area matters, we turn these negotiable things and the difference of opinion into legalism and rightness. We begin to value other things other than the people or Jesus. We begin to do what verse 3 says. We despise them. We show contempt for them. I don't even want to see them. There's an old quote. I love what J.R. Vassar says on this. This is a short quote I shared a long time ago. When J.R. Vassar says, that which you look to establish your significance, worth, adequacy, and hear this, and rightness, you will be inclined to reject those who like it. What he's saying is that for what you think is right and true and accurate, if you don't find that in somebody else, there's a tendency to say, you're over here. And if we apply that to where we are today, these possible viewpoints, this pandemic, how should we respond? What are we supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with my families? How are we supposed to navigate? How we do church and business and school and government, the economy? All of these things, if we're not careful, it can breed contempt, it can breed discord, and we can begin to reject people in our same town with 2,000 people in our same church building. What if I flipped that quote around? Hear me on this. What if I flipped it around and said, if we establish our significance, worth, adequacy, and rightness in Jesus, we will not be inclined to be divided over lesser things. What if we flipped that around? What if we as sons and daughters of the King said, my adequacy, my rightness is not found in any of my opinions about anything. It's in Jesus. And everything else we can love and put others before us. Because we will give an account. Last section and we'll be done. Verses 13 through 15. Listen to what Paul says. Therefore, in light of all of these things, he says, stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block. Listen to the specifics here. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in the way of your brother and sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, for that person, it's unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed, worried, anxious, fearful, uncertain because of what you're eating or what you're doing or what you think, we're no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. Paul stressed this, and I said it works both ways. Those who are weak in the faith are strong in the faith. If those who are anxious, those who are not, you can totally be a stumbling block if you were saying, hey, I'm going to fence you in by my legalism. You got to operate in the way that I think, and if you don't operate in the way that I'm cautiously in being legalistic, then you're wrong. Other ones, hear me, friends, other ones can say, I have faith, this is not a big deal, and if you think it's a big deal, shame on you. Where's your faith at? And bit by bit, Satan has his way with the church, and we can become divided over an issue that we should totally not be. And there's some who may think, look at this, well, maybe Paul doesn't have an opinion. Did we look at 14 again in your Bibles or on the screen? Maybe somebody says, well, Paul doesn't care. Paul could literally care less about this, David. That's why he doesn't care. No, look what he says. He goes, I'm convinced, I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is wrong with eating a big juicy steak ribeye grilled over an open flame. I'm just kidding. I'm wanting steak now. There's nothing wrong with that. Even if it's been sacrificed to this lowercase, I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with that. He's got a strong opinion. He says, it's not bad. It's not wrong. I am convinced that nothing is unclean in itself. But if my brother or my sister regards it as unclean, I'm not going to put that in front of you. I'm not going to kind of throw that in your face and say, have more faith. Eat this steak. And now I really want a steak. If you're so legalistic and saying, I'm afraid and I'm concerned and I'm cautious, and there may be some who are joining us online because you're not sure about being here, that is great, but we don't need to be rubbing it in the face of other people saying, you've got to live and operate the way that I do. That's why, friends, this is so hard. It's so difficult. And you may say, Pastor, how do I do that? I'm going to tell you, because first we've got to get to know people. We've got to share and trust our lives and our heart with people and say, this is how I feel. This is how I want to navigate. This is what my concerns are. This is why I'm not concerned about. And we can love each other no matter what, even if our opinions change. And even if our opinions are different than someone else. And I, confession, and maybe you, we have to check our calloused heart at the door and say, I care more about you than I care more about my opinion in these matters. Paul's convinced. He's not iffy. He's not in the middle on this issue. Nothing's wrong. But he says in 15, if somebody is stressed, if somebody is anxious, if somebody is bothered by what we do, don't hurt them by your selfish actions. Your freedoms. This goes back to Corinthians chapter 10. We talked about this months ago. Don't enjoy such freedom in things that others don't. Don't hurt people. There may be times you've got to restrain your liberties, restrain things that you feel free or confident or strong in for the sake of your brothers. And I have in my notes here, Charlie can see it, he's got it back there, but I have in my notes that I made a little joke because I said, I'm literally about to ask you to walk single file out of here. Can I look at you? Some of you are going to think that's the dumbest thing I've ever asked you to do. There are some in this room today, they're going to say, I'm just grateful that somebody's making some decision to kind of help us out a little bit. There may be some here that are next week thinking, at least there's a plan. At least there's some sort of something to kind of help navigate through this. I'm going to ask you here in a minute to do something worse. I'm going to ask you to go outside in the grass and talk and not congregate in the hallway. Pastor, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Well, I've heard a lot of dumb things. But there may be somebody who says, I feel better. I feel better knowing that there's a plan. And I'm going to close with this, and the praise team is going to come up, and we're going to sing and be done. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. My prayer today is this, is we're going to pray and we're going to sing. It's not, I mean, how do I say this respectfully? It's not that I don't care about your opinion. I'm not asking you to care about mine. But you know what? When we gather in a setting like this as a corporate body, hear me this morning, we got to push those to the margins. You know what doesn't matter anymore? Me. Hear me and I'm done. It's not about me. It's about we. It's about us. It's about what's best for the body. It's about what's best for the arm, the leg, the hand, the body of Christ as we come together. I care about you, and you care about me, and that is why the deacon body we met, and we unanimously prayed, said we're going to have safeguards. We're going to walk out single file. We're going to push the doors open. We're going to have hand sanitizer everywhere. We're going to clean this place upwards, downwards, and we're going to do everything we can so that you, regardless of your presuppositions, when you come in the door, you feel safe. You feel welcome. I had to ask Jerry to come sit over here. And I was like, I'm going to have to repent after the service for asking Jerry to get out of one of the bigger seats. Right, Jerry? Forgive me. But you know what? He got up and said, whatever you need. Praise God if we move forward. May we, I'm going to pray, do everything we can to build the unity in the body of Christ. We're going to talk more about that next week, about building each other up. So let me pray for us. We're going to sing a song and then we'll be dismissed. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. I thank you for the conviction of my own soul that you've given me as I prepared the sermon. I pray that in my heart that I would not hold others to follow what I think is important. I pray that we would not marginalize people. I pray that we would not be divided in opinions. I pray that we can be convinced, but in everything that we do it unto the Lord, because we know that we're going to stand before you someday. Help us to build each other up. Help us to love. Help us to be unified and not allow Satan to divide our church, divide our community in a manner of which we try to come out of this pandemic. I pray that you would just bind any selfish thoughts, any selfish motives, that we would love well, that we would be together, together, and together. We thank you above all for Jesus. We thank you for dying for our sins. We thank you for giving us hope beyond this life. Thank you for the church. Thank you for us being able to gather together to sing songs, to hear our brothers and sisters, to gather under the banner of your name. I look forward to doing it again next week. May everything we do in song and in word be honoring to you, and we ask it in the great name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing together.